We're looking first at Genesis chapter 26 and verses 34 and 35, and then we're going to be turning the pages back to Genesis chapter 24. So find your place in Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 34. The title of my message this morning is Finding God's Will in Marriage and Life. One of the great privileges and one of the great joys, one of the most enjoyable parts I find in the ministry is helping couples prepare for marriage. There's so much in the Bible about marriage, and there's so many principles that guide us to having a blessed relationship in marriage, and I just enjoy doing that so much. And so we're thinking about picking a wife. That's what Genesis chapter 24 is all about, picking a wife. But not just picking a wife, but being guided by God in picking a wife. Now, the principles we're going to be looking at today aren't just for those that are looking for a mate. They're for all of us. But Abraham and his servant used these principles and applied them to this particular situation. I'm sure you're going to find practical help, no matter who you are, no matter what stage of life. Like, I'm not looking for a wife. I have one already. I don't need another. I'm thankful for the one I have. She's all that I need. But I've learned much from this passage as I was researching this, and I'm sure you can apply much of it to you as well. So let's look at chapter 26 and verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives, now that's part of the problem, right? He's got more than one. He took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they were a grief to the mind of Isaac and Rebekah. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Apparently, he didn't make a very good choice. Well, that's the negative part of the sermon, and we're finished with that. We're going to turn back to chapter 24 and see what wonder that God did with Abraham, Abraham's servant, God's leadership, and Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah. What wonderful names, right? We love what the scripture tells us about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the history of God's covenant with them, and God's promises, and God's blessing upon them. And we're seeing that carried out here in chapter 24 of Genesis. Before we read the text, let me just say that life is a continuous decision-making process. Much happiness and fulfillment and joy of God's blessing depends on how we decide, depends on the decisions we make in life, how we choose and how willing we are to heed the wisdom of God and His direction from His Word will determine how happy we are in life. No doubt we can all look back at the injuries we've received in life over foolish decisions that we've made. I think of Solomon that writes about the drunkard who wakes up in the morning with wounds without a cause. I hate to admit it, but there have been times in my youth when I've been on my bed, and it was like I was on a ship that was rocking back and forth and backing forth, so sick to my stomach and so sick in my head that I was regretting my decision for downing those drinks that I've put aside in my life and I've learned from my mistakes. We make rash decisions, and then we regret them. And maybe we wake up in the morning, instead of with a headache, we wake up with a payment book and an empty bank account on an expensive boat or RC or whatever these men, they always like to buy. Those boats that sit in the background, backyard and never get used. We make reckless decisions, and maybe we find ourselves in the midst of an unwanted pregnancy, or an unfulfilled dream, or an unhappy jail sentence, or an addiction we can't kick, or, as in our text in chapter 26, an unhappy marriage. The opposite can be true. We can come down to the end of our days and we can look back at the guidance that we've received from the Lord as we followed Him. We can come around the final bend of our journey, feasting on the abundance of happiness and security that God has given to us. We can consider where wise decisions have brought us and shout with Solomon, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars." Now, I know you and I both want to come to the end of our days and look back at our lives and trust that the Lord has guided us when we were submissive to Him and seeking His wisdom to make many good, rewarding decisions. And that's what this chapter 24 is about. It's about using the wisdom that God has given us to make good decisions. It's about finding God's will in marriage, which is the context here, but not only in marriage, but in all of life. Let's look at the principles that we discover in chapter 24 and apply them to our lives. Let's read it together. Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the eldest servant in his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning his master. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels sit down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw. Now let this be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will give your camels also a drink,' let her be the one who you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened, before I had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, of Melcah, the daughter of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water and drew for his camels. And the man wondered at her and remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" And she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Melcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough to lodge." Then the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth towards my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And so the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. There's much more to read and much more to see from this passage, but we're going to end there. The story is, Abraham was old. God had given a covenant to Abraham to make his family great and to give him the land of Palestine. And Abraham's son was without a wife. And rather than to give his son to a Gentile, a Canaanite woman, God led Abraham to send his servant back to the land of his forefathers to find a wife for Isaac. Let's see if we can find in this passage some principles that will help us guide our decisions for the future, whether it's to find a wife or whether it's to make a life decision that will bring God's blessing to us. First, and there's a little sheet in your bulletin with some blanks in it. It might help you to write some of these things down and help you as you're making a decision in the future. Perhaps you have a decision to make today. I'm sure you do have a decision to make today. It might be a small decision, but are you seeking God's leading to do His will? The first thing I would say about our passage is God's will is to seek His will with robust urgency. It's urgent when we're deciding to know the will of God, to seek it. And usually here's where most people fail to experience God's blessing. They just decide. They don't ask God. They don't seek to know God's will. They don't see the urgency of their choices. But Abraham said, "This job is for my most faithful servant." One who is loyal to him, one who loved him. And he said to that servant, "Swear to me, swear by Yahweh, the God of heaven and earth." See how earnest Abraham is. We need to be earnest about our decisions. Number two, rest in the fact that you are his covenant child. And we see that. We see Abraham reminds his servant that the God of heaven and earth, the God who brought him from the land of Mesopotamia and promised him this land, is the God who has made a covenant with him. The covenant given to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. The covenant passed down to his chosen people. And if we know that God is for us, we know he loves us and he wants to bring blessing upon us. We know that we are his and he is ours. Then we can go to God with confidence and expect his leadership. Rest in the fact that you were his covenant child. He has chosen you. Of all the people of the earth, God chose Abraham. Of all the people of the earth, God has chosen you to be his. And he loves you and wants his best for you. The third thing we can learn from the passage when we're making decisions and seeking God's will is that we need to be willing to make whatever sacrifice is necessary to have God's will in our life. And we can see from chapter 24 that Abraham put everything that he owned in the hand of this servant. And he sent him away with camels and he sent him away with gold. And when Eliezer came upon Rebekah, he put a nose ring in her nose. How awkward that might have been. I don't know. But it tells us the value of that nose ring and those bracelets that he put on his hands. Now, I did a little research about the value of the shekel and the cost of that nose ring, probably a $300 nose ring. So the minute he put it in her nose, boom, that was heavy. Those heavy bracelets he put on her hand, on her wrists, probably the value of those bracelets, 10 shekels now. We don't know whether each one was 10 shekels or they were 10 shekels together, but about $6,000 is the current value of gold, according to this passage. He said that in verse 53, we didn't read that, but he said that my master has silver and gold, and he gave clothing to Rachel. It was going to be at a cost. That God's will was done in Abraham's family. And we need to be willing to understand that if we're going to follow God's will, it's going to be at a cost. Now, salvation is free. It's by grace alone. We can't buy our way into heaven or anything like that. But following Jesus Christ as his disciple is a costly thing, and Jesus called us to measure the cost of it before we decide to follow him. So we need to be willing to make a sacrifice if we're willing to do God's will. And then number four, make your decision a matter of earnest prayer. Oh, Lord God, give success, Eliezer prays. I want to know that the one I find is the one that you have appointed, he says in verse 12. Seek the Lord in your decisions, and he will direct you. If you're seeking a new job, don't let dollars lead your decision. If you're seeking to make a purchase, don't listen to the salesman, and I hate to hear this on the commercials on TV. You deserve this. No, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve anything. God gives you his blessings because you don't deserve it, in spite of the fact that you don't deserve it. Listen to God on your knees and pray when you're making decisions and you want to know God's will. And then depend on the overriding providence of God. Here he is, 450 miles from home. He comes with his 10 camels and his gold and his clothing, seeking a wife, goes over the Fertile Crescent over to Mesopotamia where Abraham was come. And he just happens on the home of Abraham's uncle, his brother, and his uncle, and his nephew. Isn't it amazing? I mean, he didn't have a GPS, by the way, right? And he's outside by the well of water. His camels are thirsty. And he says, oh, Lord, I'm depending upon you. All the girls are gathered there. Now, he didn't just look them over and say, which one's the most shapely, or which one's the tallest, or which one's the one that maybe they have money, right? He said, God, I want to know the woman that you have appointed to be the mother of the family of Israel. And God showed him the one. God is provident. And if we want to know God's will and we want to follow His God, His will, we need to depend on this, like this servant did, upon the providence of God. God, I'm really not able to make this choice. I really don't know what this is going to end up in. Lord, you've called me to move to Alaska, right? Like some of our family has moved to Alaska. How do you make that decision? Alaska, Connecticut, Florida. Sounds a little better to me. Do we have the equipment to make the decisions that will determine the future of our whole family and our ministry and our profession and our career? We need to sit down and say, Lord, I need you to guide us and show me the way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a passage that's so familiar but so true, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You know, I have a wedding coming up this Friday. And you know, you watch all the chick flicks about, you know, the people that get cold feet just before the wedding. Oh, am I making the right decision? Oh, boy. You know, it isn't just a matter of chance. If you, by faith, trust in the provident God we serve, who has chosen you to be His child and to do His will in this world, then you can trust that He will guide you. You need to follow His principles as you seek His way. Now, we notice number 6, that the young woman was very beautiful to behold. Now, I believe that's relative, right? What is beauty? Who's to say what's beautiful and what isn't? I'll tell you the truth, I look at the Hollywood and the models, and it kind of makes me a little sick to my stomach, to tell you the truth. The way they dress and the way they wear their clothing and the way they show themselves. There's a special beauty that God gives to each person, right? And that's not the issue. I don't believe that's at hand here. The issue that's at hand is that she is a virgin and no man knew her. And this is the book of Genesis. This is the book of beginnings. Things are being laid down for us that are intended to mold us throughout the centuries, throughout the years, and throughout the unfolding of the revelation of Scripture. And part of what He's given to us is right back in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 about marriage. Marriage, the Scripture says, is honorable in all. Marriage is intended to be followed in the pattern Jesus taught us when He was questioned about the issues of marriage. In the pattern that God gave us in the beginning, He said, in the beginning it was not so. And it is God's will, God's revealed will in the Scripture, that we be true to His commands. Marriage is honorable in all, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all. and the marriage bed is undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. You know what that tells us? God loves marriage. And God loves when women and men keep themselves pure until the wedding day. It's just as simple as that. And God is honored, and he loves when a husband gives himself to his wife and a wife gives themselves to their husband, and they are faithful to one another until death. God designed a man and a woman to come together in the marriage relationship, and he blesses that relationship. And so when the servant of Abraham goes, his value is righteousness. Choose righteous living, and it doesn't just involve marriage. The scripture says, thou shalt not steal. If you want to know the will of the Lord, it's that you don't steal, you don't kill, you don't covet, that you live your life in contentment. Read the scriptures, find out what righteous living is like, and make that the basis of every decision you make. Amen. And be careful to flee presumption. Psalm 19, verse 13 says, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Our presumptuous sin is knowing what you're doing is wrong and doing it anyway. Number 7, evaluate the character of those with whom you partner. I thought he had a good test for Rebecca. A test that showed this woman's heart. That she was willing to be generous and charitable and caring, even for a stranger. Be careful that you evaluate the character of those with whom you will partner. Marriage or business or home or job. If you yoke together with devils, you'll have the devil to pay. Before you tie the knot of bondage with anyone, it pays to pray to the Lord that he will reveal to you their character, their faith, their loyalty, and so many other things. Number 8, submit yourself to the will of God in any case. And if you look through the passage in verse 41 and 49, there is an out. Eliezer says to Abraham, well, what if she wasn't willing to come back with me? Should I bring Isaac there? It's what if. And there's opportunities all along the way for this choice not to happen. And you know what? Sometimes we set our minds on a particular choice and we say, this is the will of God. But he's saying, what if it isn't the will of God? What if this isn't the person? I want to know, Lord, your direction. And if maybe her daddy says no, then maybe it isn't God's will, right? Maybe if, you know, you don't get the loan for the mortgage of that $750,000 house you want to buy, maybe that's God's will, even though you set your heart on it. Nice pool in the backyard and a 3-car garage and a place for a shop in the basement and everything I really was looking for in a house. Maybe I need to buy this little cottage, you know, with 2 bedrooms. Maybe that's God's will. You need to be willing to be flexible and ask God providentially to show you whether it is or it is not his will. So submit to the will of God in any case. Number 9. Seek a consensus of all parties involved. Rebecca's father and brother were involved in the process. And her mother is not mentioned, but she was probably there when he showed up at the house uninvited and needed a place to put his camels. They must have had a big barn, right? 10 camels. And this man sought the consensus, the permission of the family that was involved. And you know, it's always good to get guidance from others, because sometimes we can set our mind on something and be blinded by all the evidence and all the facts and all the circumstances and just say, I want this. Invite others into your decision with clearer minds and be careful before going forward without the consensus of your most faithful friends. Number 10, thank the Lord for his glorious grace. It all came together for Eliezer. And three times in this passage, we didn't read all these, but three times we could look maybe at verse 26. Then the man, Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. If you receive the guidance of God and your way is prospered, then worship the Lord. Give praise to his name. Bless him and thank him, because there's going to come another time and another opportunity for you to make a decision, and you're going to need his guidance there as well. Number 11, and I can't believe it. I have 5 minutes left. I said, I have never prepared a 12-point sermon before. And I said, okay, is this going to be 2 weeks or 1 week? Number 11, depend on God's blessing on your plan. Look at verse 60. This is precious. Verse 59, it says, so they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister. And by the way, I think this verse is so important to the people of Israel, right? Because this is their heritage, right? Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the great gates of those that hate them. Now, if you look back, beginning way back in Genesis, you see God's blessing. Adam had two sons, and one killed the other. And then another son, Shem, and God's blessing was on Shem. And then we read a little further on and we see Noah had three sons, Ham. It should be Seth, thank you. Got my S's mixed up. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and God's blessing was on Shem. And we read the genealogies and they lead us right to Abraham. And then Abraham to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob. And Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel, and one of those tribes, Judah, to our Lord Jesus Christ, who spread that heritage to all who would believe. See, this is the story of God's plan for mankind. And what is going on here in verse 60 is we need to depend upon God for his blessings on our plans. Lord, we're going ahead. We can't see the future. We just can see today. We need your decision, your guidance, your wisdom. We need to know that we are going down the right path, and we need your guidance and your blessing upon the path we tread. I look back at the biographies of great men and women of the past. Peter and I were talking about this past week about Martin Luther. Are those people like Martin Luther, a simple monk, that changed the world, really, for the gospel of Christ? Look back in history and see people's heritage and how God opened their eyes and used them to do great things for the glory of God. Are they any different from you? Cannot God use you to change the world? You think about great revivals where the gospel has spread broadly and many came to know Christ. That all began in a prayer meeting of just a few people. And I think about that in our prayer meeting where we meet here on Wednesday nights. What a prospect to be used of God to seek his face. And we often pray for a great revival in our nation. Oh, that God would use us to bring people to Jesus. Bring Jesus to people. Can he use you in that way? As you're seeking him to make the decisions of your life, yes, he can. And then finally, enjoy the work the Lord has done for you. Let me begin in verse 63 and read. This is the end of it all. And Isaac went out. He's back in Palestine. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. He was anticipating God's blessing upon his life. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the fields to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her to his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What a beautiful picture. God has brought it all to pass. God has brought these two people together, the people he appointed to be together. He brought them together, and he brought them together with joy and fruitfulness and blessing. And we can expect that if we follow these principles that Eliezer and Abraham followed. If we seek God's will for our decisions, we can expect God's wealth and riches and blessing and joy and honor in our lives and fruitfulness. So seek the Lord. Seek him while he may be found. Pursue him in prayer. Seek his direction. Submit to his will. Be willing to pay whatever the cost. Trust him for your decision-making process, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Our Father, we thank you for the beauty and faith and joy and hope we see in this passage. Sometimes we're perplexed. We don't know which road to go down. We don't know which decision to make. We don't know whether to take that job or stay where we are, or we don't know whether to take steps that will change the way we do things every day. We don't know who to make our friends, who to make our mates. So we look to you, and we make you the sovereign Lord over all of our affairs. And we say, Lord Jesus, your will be done. Father, thy will be done in our lives according to your will, and we will follow you wherever you lead us. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name.